All right, are you ready for our new series? All right, so here we go. As we begin this new series, I'm curious, how many music lovers do we have? All right, so a lot of music lovers. I'm curious, what is your favorite decade of music? Like 60s, 70s, 80s? All right. So I heard 60s, I heard 70s, I've heard 80s. 90s. Do we have any younger people with us? That 2000s. Thank you, Noah. Appreciate that a whole bunch. All right. So I did my middle school years and high school years in the 80s. And so I'm a fan of 80s music. So I think the 80s brought us some of the greatest rock music out there. I don't know if that's appropriate to say or clap for in church. I'm not sure. But, you know, that's just a reality for me. So I grew up listening, you know, to bands like U2 and Bon Jovi and Def Leppard. And, you know, don't tell my mom some of that stuff because she wasn't a real fan of some of the stuff I listened to. But so I grew up listening to that kind of stuff. I don't listen to it as much anymore. But a few years ago, I noticed my kids were listening to it. So I have four kids, and I noticed when they were playing a video game called Just Dance. Anybody familiar with that game? All right, so, you know, all this music of all these generations, and you do all these weird dance moves to it and see who can win the competition. So my kids love that game, and so they were singing my 80s music. And I'm listening to it like, what are you doing? You're singing and dancing to my music. Like, that's craziness. And then I started listening to the music. And I'm listening to the songs, and I'm like, do you know what that song's about? Do you know what you're listening to? I don't think that's appropriate for you to be listening to. And they're like, Dad, that's the music you listen to. I know it wasn't appropriate then. And it's not appropriate now for you to be listening to that music. Anybody ever listen back to the music you used to listen to and think that? Like, wow, I listened to that. Like, I really let that fill my mind. Like, I don't know that that was all that great. But here's how that applies to us today. We all have songs or we all have soundtracks that play just beneath the surface of our lives. Songs or soundtracks that have impacted us for a very long time. And sometimes you'll hear a song and it'll bring back good memories. Other times we have these soundtracks that play in the background of our lives and they're negative and they bring some bad memories to us. And they're more like broken records that play over and over again. And those broken soundtracks play some of their greatest hit songs like I'm Not Good Enough. Or I'm such a failure, or no one really loves me. And then when something bad happens in our lives, it kind of confirms what we believe about that song. And we believe, yeah, nobody really does love me. Yeah, I really am a failure. I really am not good enough. And even though when we hear that, we think that's not appropriate. I shouldn't be listening to that. But we listen to it because we've been listening to it for so long in our lives. And it's hard not to believe that stuff sometimes. And in preparation for this series, I did some deep thinking about some of my own broken soundtracks that I've listened to in my life. And there were three that came to my mind. And I'll talk to you about the several of them over the next few weeks. But one of them is that I'm not good enough. And I hear that all the time in my mind. I don't feel like I'm a good enough pastor. I don't feel like I'm a good enough leader. I'm a good enough husband. I'm a good enough father. I'm a good enough friend. I mean, so often I just feel like I'm not good enough. And then when something happens in my life that I view as confirmation, it just goes back into me believing, yep, I'm just not good enough. And you would be amazed at how often I hear that song playing over and over in my mind. And maybe you wouldn't be amazed because maybe you hear your own broken soundtrack that you listen to over and over again. And I'm just curious, how many of you can identify a broken soundtrack that you have listened to for a very long time in your life? Anybody? All right, look around. There are a whole bunch of us that listen to trash music that we should not be listening to. And if you'd like to learn to listen to some new music, today we're going to start talking about how to listen to God's playlist the things that he wants us to listen to and truly believe about ourselves. So like you saw in our bumper video, we're starting a new series called Soundtracks. And in this series, we're going to explore some of those negative soundtracks that we listen to and the ones that God wants us to listen to. And we're going to do that by exploring some of the Psalms found in the Old Testament part of the Bible. So if you're not familiar with the Psalms, Psalms is a collection of writings that contains songs, prayers, and declarations that the people of Israel would sing, pray, and declare before God on a regular basis. And the Psalms were the only type of music that the Israelites would listen to when they turned on the radio. Like, that was it. That was all they had. And the Psalms are full of raw emotion, deep pain, real confessions, and also full of God's truth that we need to hold on to. So today we're going to start with a broken soundtrack entitled, I'm Afraid. And we're going to explore Psalms 46, which is a relatively short psalm. There's only 11 verses in this psalm. So when it comes to fear, fear is a debilitating emotion that keeps us stuck in life, afraid to do anything because something bad might happen or something worse might happen. And you might find this interesting, but the National Institute of Mental Health reports that about 50 million Americans experience an anxiety disorder every year. And about 1 in 3 people will experience an anxiety disorder in their lifetime. So look around the room for just a second. 1 out of every 3 of us will experience a diagnosable anxiety disorder in our lifetime. That's a whole lot of people that anxiety impacts. The American Psychiatric Association reports that 61% of Americans are anxious about paying their bills. 62% are anxious about keeping themselves and their families safe. 67% are anxious about current events that are happening in our world. So anybody anxious about any of those things? All right, all of them? If you came in today and you're like, I don't feel anxious about anything, let me just ask you some questions, okay? So does anyone have any financial anxiety or concerns for yourself or for our world? Anybody? Okay, number of people. Anybody have any political concerns about our political parties behaving so poorly? Okay. Anybody have any technology concerns about how social media is negatively impacting us and how artificial intelligence is going to negatively impact all of us? All right, a few people. Anybody have any safety concerns because violence is increasing and getting closer and closer to home? Anybody have any health concerns? Like, you know, we experienced COVID a number of years ago. There's a new, hantavirus that's running around. Anybody got any health concerns? How about end times concerns with the Antichrist ruling the world? Such a lovely character to have leading the world. How about concerns for the future and what that means for future generations? Anybody have any of those concerns? Anybody have new concerns now after I asked those questions? You didn't walk in with those concerns, but now you do. And you're a little bit anxious about life. So we all have some level of fear or anxiety or concerns about something. Listen to how the author of Psalms 46 records their fear. In verse 6, they say, the nations are in chaos and their kingdoms crumble. So again, people have been concerned about the world and the current events happening in the world for a very long time. And many of us are concerned about that as well. But God does not want us to be afraid. He wants us to be confident in him. And Psalms 46 is going to show us how to be confident in him. So in verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help us in times of trouble. So the author of Psalms 46 doesn't deny the reality of trouble. Life is full of trouble. It's full of trials. And Jesus said in John 16:33, here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. So life is full of things that we could be afraid of. But God says, listen, I'm your protector. I'm your strength, and I'm always ready to help you in times of trouble. In verse 7, the author says, the Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. So just think about that for just a second. God is with us. He's here with us. He isn't too busy for us. He's always available to us. He's always working in us, around us, and through us. There is not a moment in life when God is not working. There's not a moment in life when he's not at work doing something. And you might ask, well, where was God when that bad thing happened to me? And based upon scripture, it says that God was right there. Psalms 34:18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. If you've ever been brokenhearted before, guess where God was? He was right there with you. God steps closer to us in those moments when we're in grief or we're afraid, or we're concerned about something, our hearts are broken, and he steps closer to us in our pain and in our sorrow. He doesn't always prevent those things, but he steps closer to us in those things. Then some of you might wonder, well, if God cares so much about me, then why did he allow that to happen? Why did he let that bad thing happen? And my answer is, I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure why God allowed my father to die 23 years ago from leukemia. I'm not sure why God allowed that. I'm not sure why God allowed my wife 19 years ago to come down with a chronic illness that almost took her life. I'm not sure. I'm not sure why God gave you all hair and left me bald. I'm really not sure about that. But I do know this. God can and will use anything to make us more like Jesus. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes what? How many things? God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to what? Become like his son. So what's God's greatest goal for you and I? It's to become like his son. That's his greatest goal. He can take anything and everything that happens around our lives or in our lives to make that happen, anything. He can use those things to make us more like Jesus. And so if God allows something to happen in our lives, we can trust that he will use that thing to make us more like Jesus. We may not like that thing, but we can trust that God will use that thing. Psalms 46, verse 8 says, come see the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Here, the psalmist reminds us that when the world seems out of control, God is always in control. God can do anything he wants, whenever he wants. He can end conflict. He can humble the proud. He can turn bad things into good things. God is always in control. And there are moments when I question that. And maybe there are moments when you question that. There are moments when I think, you know what, God, I think you've lost control. Like, God, I think maybe you've fallen asleep. God, maybe you don't care about what's happening in our world, but none of those things are true. God is always in control. And Jesus reminded us of this powerful information that we need to remember on a regular basis. He reminded us, he said, listen, before I come back, the world is gonna get out of control. The world's gonna get out of control. He told us in Matthew 24, that before he comes back, there will be wars, there will be rumors of war, there will be natural disasters, there will be famine, there will be diseases. He said his followers will be hated, people will betray each other, there'll be false prophets who will deceive many people, sin will be rampant everywhere. Does anybody see any of that stuff happening anywhere? Okay, so Jesus told us that our world is going to get worse before he comes back. So when it happens, we shouldn't be shocked. We shouldn't be afraid. We shouldn't be alarmed. we should be excited. Why? Because that means Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back soon. We got two people, three, maybe a couple more excited about that. We should be excited about that every day. One of our leaders at Epic says the world isn't falling apart. It's falling into place. It's not falling apart. Things are happening exactly as Jesus predicted, exactly when he predicted things would happen. So we can trust him. It's another confirmation of how much we can trust him. So do you trust him? Or do you trust that God is in control? Do you really trust that God is in control? When you watch the news, do you watch it with excitement? Do you flip the news on and then say to, you know, your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, girlfriend, say, hey, come over here and look. Like, wow, you see that horrible thing that's happening? You know what that means? Jesus is coming back. Or do you get depressed? See that horrible thing that's happening? Man, our world is falling apart. No, it's not. It's falling into place, just as Jesus predicted it would. When we really trust that God is in control, we can respond like in verse 2 of Psalms 46, which says, so we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. I love those verses there because it's kind of like a cocky challenge to our world. It's kind of like saying, come on, world, do your best. I'm not afraid. God is in control, and he will use everything to make me more like Jesus. So I love that kind of cocky, full trust in God perspective, but sadly, I don't always have it. There are too many moments where I think, oh, the world's falling apart instead of the world's falling into place. But in verse 10, we learn how to get that perspective. In verse 10, this is God speaking. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. So God said, be still and know that I am God. He didn't say, be busy and know that I am God. He didn't say, live in fear and know that I am God. He didn't say, doom scroll on your phone for hours and know that I am God. He said, be still. Be still. Now, I don't know about you, but being still is very hard for me. I have a hard time being still. If I were sitting next to you on the row, everybody on the row would be irritated with me because I have this wild leg bob. So when I'm sitting there, like my leg is going crazy. When I'm driving, and Tammy and I are driving on a road trip and we've got whatever, eight hours to go. She's like, why is your leg still bobbing? Like we're just driving. I'm like, I don't know. It's hard to sit still. So it's hard for me to sit still. It's hard for me to sit down and read my Bible at times because when I sit down to read my Bible and pray, guess what? I start thinking about everything else that there is to do. And I think like, did I take the trash out this morning? Like, I'm not sure I did that. And like my mind runs crazy and I really have to discipline myself to stay focused on reading and praying. When I wake up in the middle of the night, which I do too often now, if you're awake at between 2 and 3, maybe we should text each other or pray for each other. I don't know. Like I'm laying there like, what am I doing? Like I should be asleep. But so instead of laying in bed, what do? I get up and I work because I will not lay in bed and do nothing. I mean, that's not probably the right way to do that. Probably not the right way to handle that. Should I pray? Yeah, I should probably pray. But I have a hard time being still. And I think one of the reasons I have a hard time being still is sometimes when I'm still, all I hear are my broken soundtracks. So to distract me from some of those soundtracks, I like to stay busy. And my busyness kind of pushes that information off a little bit. But being still, I've learned, helps me to turn down the negative soundtracks that I'm listening to. And it helps me turn up the soundtracks that I should be listening to. But it's a difficult discipline to learn how to be still. So at the end of our time today, we're going to create some space for us to just be still so we can be reminded of who God is and who's actually in charge of the world. For those of you who struggle, maybe like me, to be still, we've got some great resources for you on our Spiritual Growth Challenge. So if you're new, it's just a one-page document that we make available each Sunday that takes what we're talking about on Sunday a little bit deeper. And so for those on campus, there's a copy in the lobby. For those watching online, there's a link in the comment section. And I encourage you to get that. And I encourage you later today, later this week, to just practice being still, which involves being silent, which involves turning down the noise that we listen to in our brains, the fear that we have, the negative broken soundtracks that we listen to over and over again. It involves turning those down so we can actually hear from God and turn up what he has to say to us. We have to turn up his voice in our lives in order to listen to the right soundtracks. And so, again, I encourage you to get that. Spend some time this week practicing being still before God. If you need to talk with somebody today or pray with someone about one of the broken soundtracks in your own life that maybe is just screaming at you today, stop by our care table before you leave. We've got some amazing people there that would love to pray with you and talk with you, do anything that we can to help you. If you're watching online, just email us at care@theepicchurch.com and we will serve you in any way that we can. Now, before we transition into our time to just be still before God, let me tell you about the authors of Psalms 46. Psalms 46 was written by the sons of Korah. So if you have your Bible open, or your Bible app, if you read at the top of that, it'll tell you their description. So Korah was a leader of the people of Israel who led a rebellion against Moses, and it's recorded in Numbers 16 if you're curious to learn about that. But God's punishment for Korah was swift and severe. He took his life. And he took the lives of some of his family members and some of his followers as well. But Numbers 26 verse 11 says, "But God saved the sons of Korah." So Korah's sons, they came from a family history that was marked by rebellion and chaos, and those negative soundtracks could have played in their minds over and over again. But instead of being angry at God or being afraid of what he might do to them, they trusted God and they became worship leaders. They became songwriters. They became gatekeepers in God's temple. And instead of writing from a place of anger or fear, they wrote from a place of deep trust in God. They trusted that God is in control when the world feels like it's out of control. So again, do you and I feel that way? Do you and I trust that God's in control when our world feels out of control, like our lives, or even when our global world feels out of control? Do we really trust in God like the sons of Korah did and became some of the worship leaders that we're learning from in this series? So as we close, let me just ask you a few more questions. What are you afraid of? What are you anxious about today? What are you concerned about? What keeps you up at night? What keeps you from slowing down to be still? What do you use in your life to keep you distracted so you won't listen to that music that you know is always playing in the background? Our fear won't make anything better. Our fear won't help us sleep better, reduce stress. It won't give us more control in our lives, but trusting God can do those things. And I truly believe that we can learn to trust God so much that we get to that spot that the authors of Psalms 46, the sons of Korah, where they say in verse 2, "Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. We will not fear when earthquakes come. We will not be afraid when we have economic instability. We will not be anxious when we get a bad medical report. We will not be stressed out when we hear about another nation going to war with another nation. we will be able to say, my hope and my trust and my confidence is in God who is in control. And things are falling into place. They're not falling apart. So to have that kind of mentality, we have to be still. We have to be still and trust in God. That doesn't mean we'll never face fear in our lives. It just means, again, we'll be able to turn down our fear and turn up our confidence and trust in the one who's in control. So in just a minute, our worship team is gonna close us with a new song called Quiet. And it's an opportunity for us to just be still and quiet for a few minutes before God. Have a conversation with him about things that maybe we're anxious about. And an opportunity for us to be reminded that God is always in control, even when the world feels like it's out of control. So during this song, what I encourage you to do is just stay seated. Just stay seated and really work on being still. If your leg's bobbing a little too much, hold on to it. If the person's leg next to you is bobbing a little too much, hold on to it. If they're your spouse, do that. If not, that might be inappropriate. But just be still as we sing and we remind ourselves of who is in control. Let's pray. Let's be silent. God, this is a fascinating psalm for us to read, especially when we understand who wrote it and the place that they were writing from. God, they could have been writing from a place of anger or a place of great fear and suspicion of you because of their ancestor, Korah. But they didn't. They trusted you. Even when at that time their world was falling apart, Lord, they trusted that you were a good God and that you were completely in control. And so, Lord, they were able to hold on to that truth. They were able to turn up that positive soundtrack in their lives and write some of the worship music that the people of Israel sang for many years in the worship song that we were learning about today. So Lord, I pray that we would be able to be still. Lord, I know one of Satan's greatest weapons against us is busyness. Because if he can keep us busy, he can keep the negative soundtracks that we're listening to on a regular basis, he can turn them up so loud that they'll blare in our ears all the time. And we'll just spend our life constantly running from them. But I think he knows when we're still, we understand that you are in control. And we can actually start hearing the message that you want us to hear. So Lord, we want to hold on to Psalms 46:10 today. We want to be still and know that you are God and that you are in complete control. Speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.